Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sans Pants Radio. There's a pig at full forward.
We miss you, Sandy.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, How Good's Footy.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go.
My AFLW team is on fire. Cannot be touched. As predicted 2 weeks ago by me, the Kangaroos are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any?
No. No. I have no strong feelings about football this week.
Tom.
I had a dark fucking week, boys. I had a dark fucking week of footy. Mm.
What happened, Tom?
In the time that we've had no footy, I forgot that footy is the highest of highs
and
the lowest of lows.
Yeah. So straight after we recorded, would have been just after we released last week's episode.
Yep.
Tragedy struck Geelong.
I was full of joy and happiness and just looking forward to watching footy. And then news comes through, Nanny Morrison has done her ACL. I tell you what, It hit me harder than I was anticipating. I was just kind of like, oh.
Even I felt bad for you.
I feel terrible. Like, she's 18.
Number one draft pick.
She was like...
Rising star.
You saw that first game.
I think you said, Tom, she was going to win every award in the country.
And does her knee, which fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, just the harsh realities of football were brought full... light, and there were some people on Twitter, Sean, were not kind.
To you?
Yeah. Just like, oh, fuck your team. And I'm like, normally I'd reply with a wink or a bit of a gag, but I was like, I'm hurting today. That's below the belts. That's below the knees, if you will.
Ooh.
Yeah, it sucks.
I don't like it. Just that behavior on Twitter. Just get fucked.
You both came after me too.
Oh, no, I don't think we did.
Oh, you both were like, both your windows are shut now.
Well, that's just fact.
That was probably the rudest tweet you got. You were like, heard about Nina. That sucks. I guess both windows are shut.
No, not that sucks. There was no ever any sympathy. There was one like...
Look, the rudest thing I said was, Tom, at least look on the bright side. It's still Thursday. You can change your tip to Western Bulldogs.
Guess what, Dusha? I didn't.
That's all right. How did you enjoy getting 3 this week or less?
No, I got more than that.
You got 4.
I picked North Melbourne.
Yep.
I picked Melbourne. I picked Adelaide. And I picked the Purple Haze, mate.
Oh.
You knew I did this. I said on the episode last week.
I'm still filthy about it.
Hey, see, it got me 4 tips.
Yeah, I got 4 as well.
Hey. So did I.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. Although okay. We all got different ones wrong.
Who'd you get wrong?
I tipped Collingwood.
Oh, Dusha.
Did you get seduced by the home crowd?
You broke your own fucking rule.
No, my rule isn't to never tip Collingwood. It's that Collingwood are garbage and don't get behind them.
Oh, that's what you did. You got behind them.
No, I just tipped them because they're playing at Victoria Park. But
Melbourne nearly a much better side.
Well, I know that now.
Dusha.
Tom.
Wow.
Look, all I'm saying is I tipped against both of your teams and it paid off.
Dusha, do you even want to win the tips, mate? Don't bat Collingwood. Fucking hell.
It's no good. I'm ranked 22nd currently, which Shit. Is...
Am I ahead of you?
Where because... am I?
Let's have a look. So quick ladder update of how... this show, it's all over the place. Hey,
yeah,
welcome.
We're a bit broken this week because two of us are in mourning.
So... And I tipped Collingwood. So I look, I have no self-respect at the
Toast
moment.
Only for us.
Well, Toast made its first appearance in the Carno household this weekend.
Well, yeah, there was a good photo of that on Twitter.
The settings were wrong. It got burnt. It's not good.
I had some toast at work for breakfast. And then, because I was also still sad about the knee, and I thought, you know what? I've got to live a bit. I had some Milo cereal too.
I'm working my way back up to a roast, hopefully this weekend. So this morning I had crumpets. A slight improvement on toast.
Yeah, yeah. I'm... Ooh, I think we've got Adelaide, so...
Where?
Over there.
Oh, they looked good.
Yeah, they did. So you don't know where we are? You know what? I could actually look up where I am.
I can tell you exactly where you are.
Oh.
So,
am I above you?
Quick ladder update.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the top five. They deserve the recognition that they're about to get.
Yep.
They're all on a total score of 9.
Jesus. So
impressive.
They've dropped one tip so far.
Fuck me.
All right. So you've got Josh F coming first, followed by Chris Turner, Captain Hat.
Fuck yeah, Captain Hat. Go all the way.
Yabby O and Spruger.
Captain Hat and Spooger sound like a radio broadcast duo on like...
You are now listening to Captain Hat and the Spruger.
Well, yeah, we're going to do some gotcha calls. Like that kind of
shit. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. You...
Yeah?
...are sitting at 19th.
Ooh! I'm in the top 20, baby!
I am sitting at 22. We are both sitting on 7.
But do I have a better accumulative score?
Yes. Yeah, you... This week, I tipped North by 10. You tipped them by 15.
Are you sure you're on 7, not 8?
Yeah, I'm on 7.
Shit, did I get 2 last week?
You must have. You tipped Carlton.
Never again.
And Geelong.
Carno, you're sitting at 34th.
I'm okay with that.
With 6. So you're only one behind us.
Do you know what's really dumb? 34th sounds made up. Like when you said 34th, even though it is like a measurement, and it's the 34th person. Mm. It sounds like a fake number, like 11th.
And
I'm in the top 35.
Friend of the show, Dowie, I may have forgotten to put his tips in for 2 weeks in a row because he is sitting 4th. He's sitting on 4, 75th.
Oh, come on, Dowie, lift, mate.
On that, should we go through the weekend's results?
Oh, also, something we should mention before we get to the games, because there was two big sad notes that came out of this week. One was Nina's knee. And the second one was Sandy Roberts is retiring from commentating.
Yeah. See you, Sandy.
It's bittersweet. I mean, it's not like anything happened. He's just retiring. He's been in the game for a million years.
But someone put up, like, I can't remember the figure, but the number of games that he has commentated, and it was 4 figures.
Yeah, it was over 1,000,
which is insane.
It was nearly, I think, 1,200.
Yes, him and Dennis have, like, the quintessential commentator voices. They're just, Sandy Roberts' commentary is just unobtrusive. You just listen to it. You know what's going on. There's occasionally a great line, but it's not like... James Brayshaw screaming and BT making, not knowing any players.
Yeah.
It's excited, but it's real excitement. It's not fake.
Yes.
It's not Luke Darcy.
The man doesn't know what excitement is.
Sandy Roberts has been commentating for so long that there's a song that I'm quite fond of that came out in 1990 that name drops him.
Wow.
Well, I feel like he would have been commentating in the 80s, wouldn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he definitely was.
Here's the thing about Sandy too, is that like you often attribute... Like, so when Dennis retired, it was like, wow, he's had so many great phrases and great moments.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a cork in the ocean, snuck up on him like a librarian, all that kind of stuff. Sandy, they played like a clip of his best moments. He's been at some influential moments. Like he is Billy, you're the king of Geelong when... Billy Brownless kicked the goal after the siren to put Geelong in the grand final.
It's insane to look at Billy Brownless... and Sandy Roberts, and be like, Sandy, you have been commentating long enough that this man
was playing football
in peak physical condition to kick a goal after the siren.
Was he ever in peak physical condition?
No, he was in good, better.
He's a picket full forward.
He was for that time period.
Yeah,
yeah. Look, he well, was he though?
He was probably only limiting himself to 2 or 3 pies a day, rather than his 5 that he goes for now.
Yeah, man, it's the beers that would be killing his weight.
Yeah,
surely.
I feel like he would have been on the same amount of beers back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Just but running.
It's just
a bit
that
more.
He doesn't do the training.
Yeah,
now.
Correct. But yeah, so he had that one. He had Pluggers the picket full forward. He also had Pluggers goal after the siren to put Sydney in the prelim or in the grand final, where he, the point after the siren,
yeah.
The biggest point he's ever kicked. Mm-hmm. When the scoreboard caught fire at the MCG,
yep.
He commentated that. he's had some big, big moments.
He commentated, I think, 19 grand finals.
Jesus.
It's just mad.
Yeah.
He's got such a lovely, just a great bloke.
Good bloke. My dad's met him.
Yeah, how is he?
Dad really liked him, yeah. So Sandy's also a farmer. And my dad used to be in the farm machinery business. So he sold him a tractor back in the day.
You know, he's going back to farming.
Oh, he's just retiring to the farm. Bloody Thanos.
Sandy Roberts and Thanos. Do you know what's going to be great is if you're on the neighboring farm and you just see him driving, like he's driving his tractor and there's some like chickens running about.
Yeah.
And you just hear faintly, and chicken number two has taken over chicken number three. Because old habits, you know, just can't die. Like he's got to keep going.
I've never heard this, but I've just pulled up his Wikipedia page. Sandals is his nickname.
What? Sandals.
Sandy Sandals Robert.
Was he a footy player or is he just a... I can't remember.
I've never heard him been referred to as Sandals.
No. It is Wikipedia though. Someone... He's actually edited that himself. Like, you know what? I'd love a cool nickname. Yeah. Everyone calls me Sandcastles and I don't like it. I'm going to change it to Sandals.
Can you think about it? It is funny that he didn't have a nickname. Well, apparently he did, but I never knew about it.
Must have been like early on. Because to be fair, Sandy is like... Sounds like a nickname because it's got the E... Like,
yeah.
In true Australian form, you can't make Sandy like, you know, Brownie.
His name sounds like it should be longer.
It, like, his name is Sandra Storm Roberts.
That's terrible.
He's hosted a lot of things outside of footy. He was asked to be one of the commentators of the 1980s Moscow Olympic telecast.
Oh, he's done heaps of Olympics. Yeah,
yeah, he's done a lot of Olympics. Wow,
everyone from 1980 to 2008.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's I'm pretty sure that Sandy was the host of one of my favorite AFL DVDs of all time called Biffs, Bumps and Brawlers.
He absolutely was. Oh. He was even on the cover.
Yeah.
Wow.
He loved it. He loved the Biff. He got around it.
But in that quiet way of his. Yep.
Despite his impressive resume, Sandy Roberts is often remembered for his gaffe in introducing 1981 Miss Australia. So her name is Leanne Dick, and he accidentally introduced her as Leanne Cock.
Such a weird gaffe.
Oh, it's good though. It's very good. Barracks of St Kilda was a farmer, and he is an ambassador for the non-profit organisation The Beehive Foundation, a charity that runs free programs to develop coping mechanisms for youth via junior sporting organisations.
Seems like a good bloke. Give him an OBE.
Yeah.
Whatever you give people.
The timing of this retirement is strange, though, no?
Because he's not doing this season, is he? Or is this his last season?
Oh, is that... I actually don't know the circumstances. Like, is he seeing out the year? That's what I would assume. Because by now, he would have a contract in place.
Because Dennis did the same thing. He announced at the start of the season that this season would be his last commentator.
Yeah.
So I imagine...
I'm guessing that's what's happening.
We are the worst researchers in the world. I assume he'll commentate the rest of the year, right?
I think that's what would happen, right? Surely.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's had a rough life.
Oh, no, really?
No, yeah, there's sad stuff as well.
Oh, no.
Sandy.
He had a 15-year-old son that died.
Oh, whoa. Fuck. I didn't know that. Fuck.
Yeah, he got a blood transfusion that was HIV positive, so his 15-year-old son died of AIDS.
Man,
holy shit. That sucked.
Shit.
And yeah, that like kind of broke down that marriage as well because of the grief. And he was stayed silent on it for about 15 years, and then he spoke about it. Sandy Roberts, you are an absolute trooper.
National treasure.
He doesn't get enough, like, recognition, I feel.
That's what I mean. He's not obtrusive. He's not in your face.
Yeah.
And yet, like I said, he has so many... He's been involved in so many big AFL moments.
Yeah.
But he's not like Dennis, who had an air about him, or like...
Well, Dennis is also famous for just saying, like...
Like, a lot cutting through the ground like a stiletto through cheese.
Yeah.
I would go Bruce, Dennis, Sandy.
Well, see...
Sandy's
nah.
like...
Bruce is too high there. I'm putting Dennis ahead of Bruce.
No, Bruce for me.
Bruce gets a bit stupid sometimes.
But so did Dennis. Dennis got a little bit, you know, up his own ass, I think.
Yeah, but in the best way possible.
Yeah, it was still entertaining, but I think Bruce is consistent.
Do you know what, though? Actually, now that I'm reflecting on it, Sandy is the best of the three.
Because he didn't want the spotlight.
Correct. It wasn't about him.
It was about the game.
It was about the game.
Oh, Sandy.
Ah.
Oh,
we're going to miss you, Sandy.
When you retire at the end of the year, we presume. All right.
Now,
good
to
news.
Get on to... The events of the weekend.
First game, Friday night.
The game that almost was not.
Oh, my God.
So,
in trying circumstances, the Roos
defeated the GWS Giants So this game took place in New South Wales, and at the same time this taking place, a giant fucking thunderstorm was also taking place. And Tom, what happened?
Well, the game was delayed 45 minutes.
Because the power fucking went out.
Because the storm, because of lightning and also all of the lights went out at the ground.
Yep.
And they take 15 minutes to warm back up. That's an important fact to remember, guys.
Yep.
The lights, when they go off, take 15 minutes to warm back up. So the lights go off, the torrential rain, there's lightning in the area, and Steve Hocking is like, no way, we've got to postpone the game. They do that in the men's comp as well. There was a game once at GWS where lightning hit a light tower while Cam Mooney was doing like a pre-game thing. He shit himself, and they delayed the game by 15 minutes.
My work got struck
to clean up Mooney's mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, my work got struck by lightning this week while I was there as well. Caused a huge power surge.
Was it fucking awesome?
It was mostly just stressful because, like, when there's a power surge at a cinema and all of our projectors are computers, basically, they stop.
Chaos.
But yeah, all the
free
lights.
Free popcorns for everyone.
Yeah, that's. I was just like, guys, I don't know what's going on. Just loot the place. Yeah. But yeah, so
huge storm. So storm hit, play resumed, torrential rain, trying conditions. And then with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, the lights went out again. And the decision was made to obviously get off the ground, 15 minutes for them to turn back on. Now, I would have thought they would have been like, we'll just call halftime early. But they didn't. They came back out after about 20 minutes. They played the last four minutes of the second quarter and then had a six-minute halftime break.
So they should. Like, they should play it out.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. But the game went like an hour and a half late. So when they came back out at the start of the third quarter, the commentators were like, well, we should have been going home now, but we're not. Let's go. Footy. and the North Melbourne camp were disseminating rumours during that blackout, Dusha.
Ooh. Ooh.
So they were telling the broadcasters that the GWS Giants had asked to call the game off.
Oh.
And the North and the Kangaroos had gone, no way. And then when they asked the Giants about it, the Giants were like, we didn't know.
Ooh. They don't get along.
Apparently not.
Bloody hell.
Sounds like my team's been blackmailed here.
Wait, what?
North.
How?
I don't know if these rumors are true.
Blackmailed over what?
Besmirched. Muddied, if you will.
Yeah, maybe not blackmailed.
I think using the right...
Slander. Slandered.
Well, do you know what they didn't do? Lose.
Yeah. Let the blackout affect their level of play.
They smashed... GWS did that thing that they did last week where they could have won multiple times and then just didn't.
Yeah,
fell apart in the last quarter.
Yeah. They didn't do a lot in the third quarter, and then the last quarter, North just turned it back on.
Well, it was pretty even for most of the night, and then, yeah.
Emma Carney.
That's it. Emma King.
She is... probably going to win the MVP.
Again.
Yep. I hope so. Actually, the more I think about it, the more I hope it continues to happen and it becomes the Carney medal.
What, so people assume it's named after you?
Yeah.
Even though the spelling is not even close to the same.
My God.
The Carney medal.
The Carney.
So she had, Emma Carney had 22 touches and laid 8 tackles. Jenna Bruton, also for North Melbourne, player, 19 touches, 9 tackles.
The player that, for me, that was the difference for them was Duffin, who plays...
Jessica Duffin?
Basically, yep. They're like, where do you want to play on the ground? Oh, we'll just put you anywhere we need you. She's one of those kind of utility types and a big get from... I think she came from Collingwood.
She's really clean with the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daisy Bateman and Emma King both kicked 2 goals each.
Emma King could have had a third too.
But just on like efficiency, in those conditions, like some of the skills on display were actually awesome.
Do you know who was the two players who were fascinating to watch for the Giants? Were the two Irish players, Bono and Staunton, who just that Gaelic footy ability of being able to use either hand, either foot in the wet. You just see them pick it up. Well, there were a couple of times where Staunton just did that thing where she'd take like 5 steps too many and get caught.
Yes.
But had the right strategy, had the right idea. She's just like a wrecking ball. She kind of gets the ball. She's got her face like smashed open.
Yeah.
At one point she was yelling at players for like not chasing other players. I'm like, fucking yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
The spirit angry. Of Brendan Goddard.
Yes.
Yeah, he smashed his nose open heaps.
So yeah, North Melbourne look dangerous, which is good.
Is it?
For me.
Ashmore hasn't really got up and going yet.
Also.
Which is a scary proposition.
She had a bit of a tackle that,
was a bit...
A bit dangerous.
Yeah, a bit on the line. I didn't see that tackle. What was it, a 2-motion sort of sling?
It was a sling, It was. So they had Beck Goddard. So it was the Fox footy coverage. Beck Goddard, who is the former Crows coach, does special comments. She's fucking fantastic.
She is
It's like
great.
That insight, the same sort of insight you get from like a Paul Roos, but she's very funny, like very dry and very funny. Like they're talking about, oh, have you ever seen better moving Irish player, Irish movement before? And she said, oh, I've watched the Coors play a few times. They're pretty good. And the other commentators were like, fucking Coors.
She'd be a lock for one of the coaching jobs next year, wouldn't
she? Well, the theory is that Gold Coast are gunning for her pretty hard. Oh. I can't believe she's a free agent. Like, I don't know why Adelaide just didn't...
I'm not sure what happened there.
...throw the book at her.
Because she won a premiership.
Yeah, it's weird.
Something must have happened, obviously.
She wanted to take him on a mind camp, and they went, no more mind camps. Yeah, no, so Faruja, the captain, just got cleaned up, and it was kind of... Bec Goddard was like, it's not a sling, but it's not a tackle you want to see because her arms were pinned to her side.
Yeah.
She couldn't break it and she kind of kept going with the tackle.
Yeah.
Because she came back on and played, Ashton was probably fine. In fact, yep. I don't think she was suspended. I think the suspensions have all come through.
Yeah, I don't think she was cited. So.
It wasn't dissimilar to... It was less full on, but with a similar action to Cranston's that got her 2 weeks from a practice match.
Yeah.
So, Ashmore, just you know, come on.
From a Giants point of view... You would probably be worried that they're none from two. However, I think we'll get a little bit more into the conferences at the end of the round, but I still think they're going to be okay.
I think they will be too, Sean.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
Yes.
Next game.
And this is where I dropped a tip.
Because you're an idiot.
Yeah, look, I gave Collingwood one chance to win me back, and they fucked me, Tom. They fucking fucked me. They kicked one goal all game.
In like the last... Second half, too.
Yeah, they didn't kick a goal until the last quarter. Mm. God damn it, Collingwood.
It was very windy conditions.
Yeah, and but Melbourne are a much better team, apparently.
Melbourne, did you see, is it O'Day, I think is how you pronounce it.
Elise.
I was like, I'm just gonna have a fucking blinder. Have a sick one, Collingwood. She just tore them apart.
Yeah. So on Saturday, I was at music festival, so I didn't see any of the matches. But I was checking my phone and very upset at this result. But also, look, hey, kudos to Melbourne. Great team. I won't be making this mistake again. Collingwood, go to hell.
I think Melbourne's midfield is just fucking on fire.
Daisy who?
Yeah. No, but even like Collingwood just couldn't really get an inside 50.
No, they
didn't have many opportunities.
They had their best player for the game was telling was that same Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
Brazil. I think it's Brazil. Yeah. Who played a brilliant game against Geelong.
You can lock in right now. She'll be all Australian.
Lock in her for all Australian and probably Collingwood's best and fairest round two.
She's a gun.
And lock in that one of the expansion clubs will steal her from Collingwood.
Collingwood would want to be concerned by that because this is the third year. And I think in every season they've dropped the first two games, haven't they?
In every season... They've dropped the first three. Obviously, they've got a game to go here.
So they're just playing catch-up every season.
Every season.
Would have been good of you to share that information with me before I put in my fucking tips, boys.
I mean, I thought you just would know that.
Yeah, no, I think I did know that. And for some reason, was just like, no, Victoria
I thought you
Park.
Were just trying to antagonize us.
No.
Look, saying Collingwood, and then you would have changed your tip last minute or something.
No. I thought you went back and listened to the episode before the grand final and got sucked in by me again.
Like, oh, maybe Tom's got a point.
Collingwood should be worried. They're underperforming and they're 3 years in. Like, Geelong lost as well, which we'll get to, but we're 1 year in. We're brand
and
new.
You lost to the reigning premiers.
And we lost to the reigning premiers. Mm. They lost to Melbourne are a good side, but Collingwood and Melbourne have entered the competition at the same time.
Yes.
They both lost big players. And Collingwood looked good against Geelong the other night, but was that because it's Geelong and they're new?
Yeah, this could also be worrying for you.
I mean, we still beat them though, Dusha, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But Tom, this is why a couple, maybe even last week or the week before, I said Collingwood, I think, is the team under the most pressure. Just because they like to pride themselves on being, you know, the biggest sporting club in Australia, pretty much.
Yeah.
There's a certain arrogance that comes with Collingwood and an expectation that they're going to be good, and it just hasn't materialised at all.
And I think that because they're Collingwood too, the public pressure, because there's also like the Maguire factor.
Yeah, definitely.
The idea that they're, you know, one of the first clubs that they were talking. They were like, while they didn't have, they had a middling first year, they were really being talked up. Oh no, this second year, they're better than ever.
Yeah.
And then it got to this third year and they're like, oh, they're going to be fine. But it's kind of like, yes, they've lost some very crucial players. I don't think you can underestimate how much of an impact losing a player like Emma King, but also Duffin, who we saw tear it up on Friday night.
Yep.
But to be fair, they've replaced Duffin with Brazel. So,
yep.
I mean, their efficiency going forward was awful.
Yep.
Like they would get some great passages of play. They'd clear the ball out on the wing. They'd get it to half forward and they just would bomb it in to like a 2-on-3 and Melbourne would clear it and take it down the other end.
I'm ready to draw a line through them.
You're probably ready last week.
Well, they had moments last week where they impressed me, but then watching Geelong play this week, I'm kind of like, well, are Geelong really where we think they are?
Geelong are exactly where we think they are.
Yeah, I mean, Geelong...
A new team.
Yeah.
With they're a conference talent.
B. Correct.
Conference B team.
All I can think of when you say that is Willem Dafoe in The Life of Chronic.
Or the B squad.
Why am I in the B squad?
Yeah, I mean, Brisbane are the captain of the B squad. But still the B squad.
So yeah, Melbourne, coping fine without Pierce. Yep. Collingwood, just, you know what you should do? Guys, radical plan. Bring in one more expansion team. Merge Collingwood and Carlton.
Oh, that would never happen.
There would be literally streets on fire.
Yeah, I know. How good, though. They'd take themselves out.
Look.
The ripple effect would also affect their men's teams. No Collingwood, no Carlton in the men's comp either.
Oh, you know who'd coach that team?
Mick Malthouse.
Yeah.
The other man with experience of both.
His final plan.
Yeah.
Is to actually, he's not an antagonist. He's to unite. He's like Kylo Ren in Star Wars. You think he's a bad guy, but he's actually just bringing people together.
No, I mean, Kylo Ren's definitely a bad guy.
Right, he's like Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars.
Definitely a bad guy.
Look, Mace Windu?
He's a good guy. Yoda?
But, it's, you know, it's about balance. Anyway.
Yeah. So just quickly, because you brought up conferences. So Conference A, in fifth spot of Conference A, so lowest.
Yep.
Melbourne, play 2-1-1, percentage of 119.
Yep.
Conference B, Brisbane, who is the top of Conference B.
Yeah.
Play 2-1-1, percentage of 73.
Yep. Do you know what's great? The actual ladder, right? So even those two conferences, the actual ladder for the AFLW is just the two conferences stacked on top of one another.
Yeah, it is.
In order.
Literally.
That's like...
Brisbane could make the grand final from sixth.
They will.
Geelong could make the grand final seventh.
This is what's going to happen.
Seventh from 10.
The grand final will be 1v6. This conference system is a joke.
Well, not necessarily 1v6. It'll be 1-4v6. Let's be honest.
Let's talk conferences now. Let's take a mid-round break.
Well, just skew across the conference, because that'll tie to what I want to talk about next too.
I'm looking at this right now, and I think... Conference B does not have a top five team in it.
No.
Because I think Brisbane...
Although, okay.
Some teams have gone past Brisbane.
Can I just... Weirdly, guys, I'm about to defend the AFL.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I'll get on out. This show?
Yeah. No, hear me out, though.
All right.
So GWS could have won both their games and just cooked it. So they could very easily be 2-0.
They had no chance to beat North Melbourne.
They were in it in the third quarter still.
They lost by 25 points.
Yeah, they got blown out of the water. But they actually, watching the game, they actually played well. They just didn't take any of their chances, whereas North took every chance they got. Whereas, like, GWS missed easy shots early, turned the ball over when it looked like they were about to score. So, like, they weren't terrible, but they probably had games that they could have done better at.
Sean, just quickly, because this, I just don't agree with this.
Yeah.
If a team doubles your score, are you with it?
I think North ran away in the last quarter.
Yeah, but North just looked stronger all night, to be honest. Like, GWS had moments.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't their game to lose, which is how you're framing it.
The first week was.
Yes.
So, okay. But when they designed the conferences,
yes,
Freo had finished second last and were terrible last year.
Yep.
Melbourne had just missed finals, and Collingwood, I think, mathematically had just missed finals.
Yep.
And the belief was that both those teams would look all right.
Yeah.
Bulldogs and Brisbane had just played off in a grand final. Bulldogs have played two grand finals in a row. You split North and Geelong.
Brisbane. No.
But sorry, what did I say?
Bulldogs.
Yeah, Bulldogs and Brisbane had just played off. Brisbane played two in a row. Yeah. You split the two expansion teams. Really, when they were dividing the conferences, I don't think they would have thought that all the good teams would be in one.
No, but that's their mistake for being stupid and doing it, because they made the conferences based on ladder positions from last year. So really what you're doing is... making conferences based on a sample size of two seasons of a short competition.
Each team is nearly unrecognizable.
Tell me the one positive of having a conference system.
I can tell you a really selfish, biased positive. Geelong's going to play finals, could play finals, having won three games with a piss poor percentage.
Yeah, but I'll give you the pain behind that is that Brisbane will make the grand final. for the third straight year. And they will run into a fucking freight train.
And well, no, there's about eight freight trains. There's five freight trains. It could be Bulldogs. It could be North Melbourne.
Bulldogs are the one.
It could be fucking.
You're right, mate.
Yeah, it could be fucking Freo.
Freo look very good.
It's just, it's bizarre. Like, surely, like, yes, while I say that, you know, when they made the conference system, they couldn't, that's my defense was, when they made the conference system, surely they couldn't have known the way the results would play. However, they shouldn't have just made a conference system.
Yeah.
It becomes much more interesting if you have five teams fighting for four spots.
Yes. This plays into what Dushu mentioned last week, where it's like, what the fuck is their 5 or 10 year plan? How do they not foresee that this could be a problem?
Oh, do you know what? We know they don't have it. Can I go on a rant that's tangentially related to this before
go.
We move on to the rant, you know, rest of the games? They don't have 5 or 10 year plans. And the proof of the pudding of that is AFLX. Right? I was talking about AFLX to you guys earlier. So AFLX shows they have no forward-thinking planning because it bastardizes the true format of the game, the original AFLX, right?
Yep.
So when they made AFLX, never mind, this is shit. They're like, no, here's the... We're going to make the game more accessible for an international audience, rectangular stadium, that kind of thing. And begrudgingly, people went, all right, we get it. You're trying to market the game overseas. I can relate to that. This new form of AFLX does not fucking do that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It completely changes the brief. What? We're going to go to India and market this game. Oh, there's a guy out there. He's called the Gatorade Game Changer TM. You fucking kidding? They don't have a 5-year plan. That's why the conference system is fucking flawed.
Do you expect the conference system to... If this season plays out as it currently stands...
Yeah.
Clubs will be ropeable, and I don't think...
They will change the conference system?
They have to.
Do you think they'll get rid of it?
They have to get rid of it. If... Like, no disrespect to either of our teams, but if, say, Bulldogs and North, or say Freo and North finish top two in Conference A, but by like 2%, they're behind the Bulldogs and another team who finish on a roughly the same amount of games, but both the Bulldogs and Melbourne who finish...
Yep.
Have won more games and higher percentages than both Brisbane and, say, Geelong in Conference B.
Yep.
By a considerable... Like, basically, imagine if the ladder is what it is now at the end of the year.
Yep.
Right?
That will be insane.
That's insane. You then have two teams who didn't make the top five, make a grand final, and you would imagine those five teams would be filthy.
It hurts your brand.
It hurts it the really legitimacy hurts your brand.
Of your league as well, so they would have to change it.
Yeah, but they're the AFL, so they won't.
It's a... Depends.
Unless because they introduce the game changer and at any time a team can just move up and down the rankings.
Power play.
It really depends on whether or not they anticipated this, which I guess they probably fucking didn't. But
I mean, this would be your worst case scenario.
Yeah, but then also, I guess through, like, once the conferences start only playing each other again, because it seems like a lot of the one game out of the conferences was happening early on.
Well, so far... Carlton are yet to play a team in their conference.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So round two, every team played a team in another conference. Round two.
Yep.
Surely if you have conferences, everyone in the conference plays one another as much. And yes, you're always going to have two teams playing outside. Get through all the teams in your conference before you start going outside your fucking conference.
Yep. Although this could play into the AFL's terrible plan because it means that later on in the year season, everyone's only playing people in their own conference, which means it's going to even out a little bit. And it means that you might have someone that finishes, like, hypothetically third on the ladder miss out on finals while fourth or fifth makes it in. But I don't think it'll be five and then five.
I think it'll be, but you'll have four, I think. That I reckon the top four in Conference A will be higher than the top three
in Conference B.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's bad enough. Like, that's worrying.
That's the problem. Is you have room for four teams and they're cooking it.
Can't believe that the AFL have cooked something.
Something so simple.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of premierships and top fours and stuff, we can skip the next game.
Yeah, because someone's window was maybe shot a bit.
Or to be honest, was our window open?
I don't know.
We're brand new. I don't think we have a window yet.
I think what happened here was that...
The most predictable outcome possible?
bought into you hyping up your team and then you won last week. So in my head, I was just like, yeah, Geelong are good. But you're a brand new team that's played two games in the league.
And to be fair, there are signs. There are signs. So I think... So Geelong lost to the reigning premiers at home on the night they unveiled their flag. They played the wind superbly and Geelong didn't.
Yes.
They... Like, watching Bulldogs play got me excited because I was looking at what Geelong could be after 3 years in the system. They have a game strategy that pays off. They do short kicking and marking. They press up. You can actually see the way they have a strategy. It's not just kind of manic.
Yep.
Whereas Geelong are still new. So, for example, at three-quarter time, they had the camera at the address and Paul Hood was saying, right, we need to press up. So that means that you, Boyd and you, Darby.
Yep.
Okay, Darby, have to make sure you're not being sucked up the ground. So we have a get-out kick down to the forward line. So that was the play for the fourth quarter. Every time we got the ball out of half-back, we'd look up and, Boyd and our forwards have been dragged up the ground by the Bulldogs players, which is just playing a better team.
Yeah.
And they didn't let us get on the outsides. But, the positives were there. You could see glimpses. There were a couple of moments where, like, a Purcell or Denby Taylor just got on a bit of a run and you go, right, That's what we're going to have. McWilliams took a couple of really great marks.
Yep.
Looks fantastic.
You were with them more. Like three out of the four quarters. It was just the second quarter where they blew out of the water.
They only scored, outscored us in, I think, that quarter. I think it was even every other quarter.
Yeah. Or you won even.
Or we won. It was just they kicked four goals in a quarter and just that was it. And we didn't score.
Three and you didn't score.
Yeah.
They just killed you with the wind.
They just killed. They it's their ground.
It was. You said to us you needed to kick probably one or two more goals with the wind in that first quarter.
They outscored you in two quarters, and both quarters you didn't score.
Correct. The first and the last, the second and last quarters, we didn't score, which is when they had the breeze and we were kicking into the wind. But
it fought it out pretty well, though. To be honest, in that last quarter,
like we did, we're still in it. For a little bit there, there was a point in the third quarter where I think McWilliams missed a goal, and then had another shot and missed that one. And if she'd kicked one of them, we would have been 9 points down. If she kicked both of them, we would have been 3 points down.
Sliding doors, hey, Tom?
Sliding doors. That's what they are, Barrett. Mm. Not going to talk about him. It's too early in the year. Yeah. Look, Meg McDonald, 100%. She is my favorite player.
Yeah?
Yeah, love it.
Number on your jumper?
11. Ooh. Hook me up.
I'm actually
tattooed on my face.
I'm trying to find a number from both teams.
Ooh.
I thought I had one, but I got the men's team number wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So a number you could cross over.
Yeah, because there's a player I'll talk about when we get to the Brisbane game who I love. And I thought that the corresponding number in the men's team was someone else who I love, but I found out that it's not.
Oh my God. No, guys, I think I've got my number. I just need to double check the corresponding number in the women's team. Depending on how this player goes this year.
What number are you looking at? I'll tell you. I've got the players list in front of me.
What's Garing's number?
12.
Ah. Who's number 5?
Ivy.
Ah, no, that's not how I was thinking. Damn it. I get Beck Goring. She's 44. She's the acting captain.
And he's got that Tommy Stewart.
Tommy Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 11. No one's got the 11 at the moment, I don't think, for Geelong. Because Darcy Lang had it. Maybe a young kid's got it.
It doesn't look like anyone.
Oh, wait. Is Tim Kelly 11?
Yeah. No point getting that then.
Oh, if he was staying, that would be the perfect combination.
Mm.
Oh,
Megan McDonald's 11.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So she's 11 and Tim Kelly's 11 for the men's team. Perfect number crossover.
But he's leaving.
Yeah, so. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bullshit.
What's Nina's number? Is it 23?
9.
9.
Yep. And Zach Smith's 9.
Ah, no.
Yeah, nah. That's
sorry.
Anyway.
I don't know if I've revealed this, but like sometimes you just got to get ridiculous numbers on your back. One of the jerseys I have for the Essendon has number 13 on its back.
Sure.
Yeah.
For Damien Cupido.
TC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He played for two. I was very keen to get those numbers, and I'm not sure why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just loved him.
Yeah. He was a bit of a fan favorite, wasn't he?
Sort of.
Was he? Or just a doucher favorite?
I think he just had
a doucher favorite?
Yeah. I think he may have had the Leroy Jetta thing where he was very flashy for like two games and then just kind of annoying for the rest of his career. Yeah. Like as in like inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be your year, Tom.
Well, no, but I never thought it was like going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like we're always up against it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, positive signs. It's not all doom and gloom, although I did see the worst ball drop and kick for goal in the history of football. Astor O'Connor, you're better than that lift.
Just missed. She's looking the goods. Have you not?
I haven't seen the footage.
Tom, when she came in for the kick, I thought,
that's going to go up post height.
The grip wasn't right. She looked like she was shaping up for a torpedo. And I was like, what are you? No. And then it just dribbled.
She dropped it.
Yeah.
She dropped the ball.
I thought she shinned it.
No.
Like it dropped out and she tried to save it. She's like, oh, I can get it. I can get it back.
Nah.
Oh.
And then she hurt herself. So she was having a good night. Yeah. Now, big fan of her though. So, you know.
She's going to be great, I reckon.
Yeah.
Outside just, of that moment.
Look, it was sad, but I got angry at the umpires for the first time. So there's a first.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big dickheads.
Anyway, let's move on.
Adelaide played Carlton.
At Icon Park.
Guys.
What?
Carlton were winning during the third quarter.
Carlton responded after being shithouse last week.
Yeah.
They came out firing. There was a moment where I thought, shit, Carlton's going to completely fuck my tips. But then Adelaide, it was an avalanche in that second half.
Nah, it wasn't Adelaide. Erin Phillips.
She okay. There was one goal.
Yeah.
Did you see, I think she kicked two goals, but did you see her one where she crouched down.
She just kicked the one number 13.
Palmed it back.
Yeah.
And then scooped it up, snapped it. She, oh, look out Emma Carney.
When the going gets tough,
yeah.
Erin Phillips goes, fuck you going.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you down. When it's like that. It's that thing though, is when the chips are down, you look for that like Dangerfield, Fife, Martin, Phillips.
Yes.
When you need someone to win you the game. Having said that, there was that player, Stevie Lee Johnson, who kicked four goals and just Carlton decided they just weren't going to put a player anywhere near her.
Yeah.
But, Erin Phillips, you forget, I think you forget how good she is because she had the year off pretty much last year with the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe Carlton don't suck.
Well, this looked more like the Carlton that I read about in the preseason. No, they had some, like, they looked good. They for a period there, I thought, fucking hell, Adelaide. I didn't know if Carlton were good or if Adelaide were just mind camping their season.
But Adelaide.
But they steadied.
They steadied, but Carlton was still coming.
Mm.
Like, there was a, I think there was a goal kicked, the draft pick by Prasparkas.
Yep.
Kicked a goal late, and they were still very much in it. There was a nervous probably 5 minutes for Adelaide.
Yeah, I think towards the end they weren't going to get it done, but the crowd were just right into it still.
Yeah.
It was a good crowd at Icon Park.
It's a good venue.
It actually is. They've like sort of revamped it a little bit.
So, yeah, Adelaide, I guess.
Probably what we expected.
Yeah.
They needed that win.
Yeah.
Because I forget that the Bulldogs beat them last week.
Just.
In my head, it was Adelaide winning, but yeah, it was a 1 point win to the Dogs.
Yeah.
They needed it. Good on them. They look impressive. They look like there's a few teams already that are starting to stand out as ones who are capable of like kicking monster scores.
Yeah. Well, and also Adelaide came out and answered, well, both Adelaide and Western Bulldogs actually, more so Adelaide, came out after that really low scoring game last week and just showed that, no, they can kick goals.
They can kick goals.
Yeah.
That was more of like just like a high pressure game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Doggies look a little more low scoring at the moment. I don't think they're going to rely heavily on their pretty awesome defense.
Mm. Yeah.
They're not going to win a shootout with like a North or an Adelaide, I don't think.
No, or even Freo.
No.
I think if it comes down to a shootout, they'll, because
I don't want to jump ahead too far, but boys, but I think you'll find out what'll happen if North and Western Bulldogs play each other very early.
Very the year. What? anyway, but first.
Speaking of Freo. Jesus.
There's a good team in Freo again.
Impressive as all hell. I tipped Brisbane because of, you know, heart reasons. Freo.
Hey, Dusha, who'd you tip, mate?
The Purple Haze.
Oh, yeah, same.
Boys. Fair enough. fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
Purple Haze. Flash. Purple Flash, whatever that is. They are so quick. It's ridiculous. Brisbane, Dusha, a couple of weeks ago, you were like, Brisbane look a little bit slow. And then we won. And I was like, get fucked, Dusha. This week, I'm like, Dusha, you're a prophet. Freo are so quick. Their forward line, it's too dangerous. Brisbane, who I've been talking up their defense, they conceded 67 points yesterday.
It's the highest score you've ever conceded in history.
Yep. Brisbane, Lutkins is awesome, sort of one-on-one, and she's really good at chopping off kicks, like high kicks inside. But Freo just ran it past us.
Well, Freo did that thing where early on they were doing the high kicks inside, and then when that wasn't working, they adjusted their game plan.
Yep.
And they tore you to shreds.
Jumped out of the blocks. Again, this was like your game, Tom. There was a pretty decent breeze.
Yeah.
So Brisbane were up, you know, two goals early, and I thought, oh, look out. Premiership. It's looking pretty good. And then Freo just went, nah, get fucked, and killed us.
It's
like it wasn't, Brisbane kicked back a late in the goal. Third, but, yeah. Nah, but
it, well, it you was fought one back those... in the third quarter, and then they just kicked another two, and then you were just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just packed it in.
Although,
well, they kicked four in the last quarter.
And although a bright spot for you is Alexandra Anderson, who had 26 touches and kicked a goal.
Last week, she had something like 22 or 24 touches as well. She's
first year,
awesome.
Or is she?
I think so. I'm not as across her as some of the other players, but yeah. She's a candidate for a number on the back. Bloody hell.
What number is she?
She's 18.
Who's 18?
I feel like 18's my boy.
Harris Andrews.
Nick Robertson. Isn't he 18?
He might be.
Oh, this is a chance.
All right, let's have a look. Let's have a look.
You get that Brisbane list up.
I'll get the Brisbane list up.
And I'll keep going through some of those ripper players. I really like Emily Bates. She's sort of, for me, I think she's just below the A-grade midfielders in the comp. But she just sort of goes hard. And she's going to keep accumulating. Who have you got at 18?
Nick Robertson. Nick Robertson.
Big chance. It's a big year for Nick Robertson to see if he can solidify his spot in the team.
And your heart.
I really like Nat Exon. Did you guys see any of her game? Kick two goals is awesome. Wooshner is brilliant. And I'm very fearful that teams are going to come at her at the end of the season.
Nah, if they were, she would have gone already.
You reckon?
I reckon she would have gone. I reckon North
seems
through
to love the club.
A bucket, and I think she loves the club.
She was great, again, with less opportunities, though. I'm going to tell you right now who my favourite player at Brisbane is.
Is it Sabrina?
It was, Tom. It was. Oh, actually, just quickly, Emma Zilke needs to lift a little bit. She has dropped off. She, along with Emily Bates, they're like the two sort of senior midfielders in there. Needs to lift. Starting to hurt me a bit.
Do you know what she needs, Sean?
What does she need? She needs a... tell me, Tom, because I know.
She needs to pick up the phone.
Yep.
Just put aside 120 minutes, exactly.
Yeah.
She's saying, Simon Black, you available?
No, here's the funny thing about that. Simon Black is he works with the midfield. He's an assistant coach.
All right, so, okay, so that's not working. So she needs to pick up the phone and she needs to just ring up Lukey Power.
Yeah.
Mate, I need some of that gut running.
You know what needs to happen? I need to pick up the phone and give Simon Black a two-hour chat. Sorry, he needs to lift. Him and there's a star-studded fucking assistant coaching panel. There. Daniel Merritt's up there, old source.
Oh, man.
Brent Staker. Clark Keating, I've seen him rocking around.
So you need to have a two-hour chat with Simon Black so he can have a two-hour chat with Zilke.
Yes.
So she can play better.
Now.
That's a convoluted two-hour chat.
No, but it's what the club needs.
It's a two-hour stacked chat.
Yes.
The best kind.
Before I talk about my favourite player.
Yep.
I will quickly mention my previous favourite player, Sabrina. I still love her. And she had moments where she looked like she was going to be taking huge marks and dominating a game, but she couldn't quite get into it. There was one moment that really annoyed me, and it was late in the game, probably not going to be a chance to win really at that point. We got a free kick, and our player looked to go on, play on quickly, and Sabrina just didn't have the game awareness. She needed to actually just say, look at what was happening. She did that thing where she just had her back to the ball and just kind of dawdled back towards the goal square, where if she'd looked around and went, fuck, because she was clear. She could have run, easy goal. It annoyed me. Got to lift. Every goal counts. Fucking hell. Favourite player. Didn't dominate yesterday. Didn't get the chances. But it's Kate McCarthy.
Yep.
Where's the sleeves?
Pacemaker,
yep. To my knowledge, she's the only player in the AFL to have play with a pacemaker.
In history, yeah.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Like she used to, when she was younger, she would set, all her friends couldn't tell her mum that she was playing footy. Because her mum would freak out and not let her play.
When she got drafted, she's like, you can't tell her I've been drafted. Yeah. Until she played the first game and her mum was like, holy shit, that's my daughter playing footy.
I love her for those reasons. But I love her because she runs around and she is a player who, you look at her, watch her face when she plays. She's running around that ground and in her head she's just thinking, how good's footy?
Yeah. Hey, Sean, do you know what else will sell you more on her?
Yeah.
Do you know what you love? A player that is all heart.
Yeah.
She's got two.
Yeah. Fucking oath.
What? Now, here we go.
Yeah.
So, Kate McCarthy.
This is what I thought. So, she's number 9, okay?
Yep.
I thought Jared Berry, his brother Tom Berry came to the club. He gave up his jumper and moved. I thought he moved into the vacant 9, but he didn't. He's 7. 9 is Lachie Neale.
Sean.
I might get the number 9.
Sean, the choice is no choice at all.
McCarthy has swayed me. Neale hasn't got me over the line yet.
You fucking kidding? Guy's a jet.
Yeah, but he hasn't played a game yet, whereas she's been there, since... I love her. So she kicked a goal right towards the end, and she just had the biggest smile on her face.
Oh, that
we
rules.
Weren't going to win, but she just fucking loves playing footy, and she loves the club, and I love it.
The embodiment she's of how good footy is.
Brisbane have players like her on the team, and Exxon, and there's just a bunch of them who are all heart, and I think they're probably about the fifth or sixth best team. But
means they're in
conference
finals.
They're in Conference B, so look out, grand final. Then anything can happen. Once you're there, anything can happen. But I hope they lift next week. There's just some poor decisions. They were thereabouts, but not quite there.
Yeah,
they need to tighten up defensively. But go Brisbane. I haven't given up.
All right. Do you want to look at our tips for next week?
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, first game of next week. Game of the round.
Oh.
North Melbourne take on the Western Bulldogs at the University of Tasmania Stadium. I'm tipping North. And this is a quarter of a game.
This is the game of the round.
This
could shape everything.
And it also will define if what Sean said was true. If maybe Western Bulldogs can't compete with such a high-scoring team. Or maybe North Melbourne haven't encountered a defense like this yet.
Ooh. I mean, you've played Carlton and a sloppy GWS outfit. I saw the Bulldogs.
Yep.
Do you know what, Dusha?
What?
Fuck you, go the Doggies.
All right. Well, that'll be one tip to me, none to you. And that will separate our tips.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going North.
On you, Sean.
Yep.
No, it makes it interesting, mate.
Firepower beats defense.
The best.
Yeah, there's a bit of firepower in the Bulldogs. There's a bit of breeze down there. All Ellie Blackburn needs is a strong wind to kick a goal from 50.
Mm. She's a gun.
Oh, she could be a smoky for a...
For the Carney medal.
For the Carney. It's so weird when you say that because I assume it's named after you and it's not.
But it is.
All right. Saturday, we have GWS take on Carlton.
This has got a bit more spice to it after Carlton's efforts on the weekend, but GWS need a win.
So do Carlton.
Ooh.
Nah, fuck them.
Where is it?
Blacktown International Sports Park.
That's GWS. Yeah. Oh, I just... Now, you know what, guys? Guys.
Don't tip Carlton.
I'm cooking it. This is the week that either makes me or breaks me. Carlton.
GWS.
Yeah, Giants. Yep.
Then we have Frio taking on Collingwood at Fremantle.
Frio.
Purple haze all the way.
Well, maybe... No, I'm kidding, Frio. I'm not that dumb. Like, I am, but, like, I'm not that dumb.
Then Ooh. Sunday we have Adelaide take on Geelong.
Geelong.
Aaron Phillips.
Yeah, Adelaide.
Aaron Phillips will have a great game.
Yes.
Geelong to win.
Geelong really?
To rebound. Yeah.
In Adelaide.
Mate, Sean, would you pick Brisbane?
Yeah.
Fair.
That's logical because they're a good team.
So are Geelong.
We're getting there.
Geelong to lose by under a goal.
I believe, guys. I don't think they'll... Oh, no, guys. Huge in next week.
Who?
Guess who's back?
Who?
Rocky's back.
Oof.
She served her suspension. She's going, Aaron Phillips ain't going to touch the ball. She'll be dead. Life ban.
Just pile drive. But we'll win.
And then we have Melbourne taking on for the third week in a row in the last game of the round, the Brisbane Lions.
Yep. Home game for Brisbane.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's a win.
That's a win?
Yep.
I think Brisbane will win.
Prediction? Brisbane to win. Kate McCarthy, 2 goals.
Oof.
And a shitload of smiles. How good's footy?
She's just so stoked to be there. I think, yeah, I'm going to have to go Brisbane too.
Yeah.
At home as well.
She reminds me of, who's the guy for Richmond who just loves footy?
Oh.
The young fella.
Jack. Goal of the year, Jack?
Yeah. Just like loves that. Footy.
Yeah.
Just something I was like, fucking yeah, I'm playing footy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That bit like that, but plays for the right team.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah, not fair. So, Dusha.
Yes, Tom.
Do we have any emails this week?
We do. People just glad we're back. And glad that, more importantly, glad footy's back.
It's not about us.
No, it's not about us. It's about how good's footy, not how good's the three boys who host How Good's Footy.
It's a little bit about that.
And look, if you want to email us about that too, that's fine.
Love it.
So, email from Randy. Hello, Wharton? Boys. Footy is back. The world is right again. Great games this weekend. I just wanted to comment on a new rule that you don't have to kick the ball to yourself when bringing in a ball after a behind.
Yeah.
What a disappointment. No advantage is really gained from having to kick to yourself. As a non-Australian, I'm American. It was a little unique thing, along with the obvious fast-paced badassery, that made me love footy. The self-kick was one of them. Moving the opposite player back further from the goal square, allowing more space to run, was enough. Bring back the self-kick. It's unique and a bit awesome every time it was executed. Go Cats! Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Randy.
I
like the new rule, though.
Oh, see, I like the self-kick.
I still feel weird when I see them take off.
But I in terms of a new rule that was brought in, I actually like that one. Being able to just run out, having the person a bit further back just to clear that congestion, I think is a nice rule.
Yeah. Not rule I like. I like the throw-ins coming in.
Oh, same. Joel rule I also like. Last touch rule, because the signal for that is cowboy. Do a hoedown. Free kick.
Next email is from Tennille. Hey boys, longtime fan and a terrible tipper. I was watching the Western Bulldogs v Geelong AFLW game on Saturday. Sorry, Tom, but go the Dogs. And the commentary team was interviewing Emma Carney about the premiership win last year and her move to the Roos. So my question is, with the allowances given to the Cats and the Roos in relation to the player selection this year, are those AFLW players who moved official TCs? Because it really hurt listening to Emma talk about how good the move to the Roos was. Cheers.
Yes.
Nah.
See,
not if they came to Geelong.
Yeah, likewise with Brisbane.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a different stance, one that's way more fence city, and this is not going to make you feel any better. AFLW is a little bit different from the AFL because if they're moving back home...
It's a semi-pro sport.
Yes, it means that it can be a far more affordable move because this is not a sport that, unfortunately, caters for an entire family to move.
No, they do use that leftover money for AFLX.
Yes. The faster AFLX fucking dies, the better for everyone.
It's going to die quick. Look, short format.
If a player was moving from Geelong... if a player was moving from Western Bulldogs to Kangaroos, though... Wow, that's a bit of a different story.
Counterpoint.
Yes.
She won him a best and fairest in a flag.
Ooh, done enough, you think?
Gary Ablett going on the Gold Coast the first time.
Gary Ablett went to the Gold Coast.
Huge TC.
That was
money bags.
But he's given me two grand finals and a Brownlow.
Not enough.
Yeah, he's still...
And then he's come back and he's going to give me another grand final.
No, that's absolutely not true. If anything, he's just taken resources that could go to a younger player.
As a coach. Anyway, coach.
Nah. So, look, totally understand the mixed feelings about this. I don't know. It's up to you to decide. If you want to brand her a TC, you have our blessing. If you think that forgiveness is on the table, we also understand.
That's the beauty of the TC. You can choose to hate or forgive.
And Sean.
Hey, Sean. What?
Yeah, what are
always
you?
Always hate.
All right, next email. And this is from Owen. Hey, fellas. Thanks for the pod, as always. It is great to escape into footy for an hour each week over the summer whilst the Aussie cricket team couldn't make a stand, just like Tom.
Oh, excuse me. They made triple centuries and I have stood this summer. So, fuck yeah.
They did that against Sri Lanka when it didn't count.
Still got to do it.
It was actually at the BBL yesterday, hearing the terrible attempt at the Stars to have a team song, that a mate and I started wondering about whether the post-game singing of the team song was an Australian abnormality. I was wondering if How Good's Footy international fans could help us out. Is having a team sing a song other than a national anthem done in other countries? Obviously here in Australia it's done in many sports, not just footy, but it's really hard to picture the NBA basketballers getting in a huddle after a match and singing a repurposed version of a French national anthem.
Yeah, LeBron loves that shit. He's named LeBron.
or if Other countries do have this tradition. Is there any teams out there that have a worse song than Frio? Cheers, boys. Go D's.
Does he mean like
club song?
Club song,
yeah.
Of teams playing AFL internationally?
No, or he just means just in general.
Teams. Well, soccer teams, I feel like, have songs, don't they?
Do they?
They have a weird stuff because I know that like there's You'll Never Walk Alone.
Liverpool have You Never Walk Alone before games. But they do like, it afterwards as well.
But that's not like a club's... Like, as in, I don't think that's a club song. I think it's just
that's
like
Port Adelaide having Never Tear Us Apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, basketball seems weird, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, something like hockey gets around a song.
Or, like, the Barmy Army at the cricket sing repurposed songs, but they're not club songs.
No, they're just insulting songs.
Yeah, like...
Can't wait for the Ashes Tour this year when they just hang shit on Australia for cheating.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of songs about that.
Oh, yeah. A lot of sandpaper songs.
Well, listeners, let us know, because we aren't experts in this, but if you play a sport that has a club song, tweet us.
Tweet us singing your club song.
Yeah, we don't want a recorded version, we just want you singing it.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, and Tom, if people want to get in touch with the show...
So if you want to send us an email, you can send it to howgoodsfooty@gmail.com, or you can tweet us individually... you can tweet us collectively first at howgoodsfooty. Or individually, I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
And I'm at Douche13. Oh, and just before we go, if you're listening to this as a podcast on iTunes, do you know that you can hear How Good's Footy an entire day early? If you head to playonradio.live, we air at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday or 5 a.m. Thursday, Melbourne time. If you're an international listener, you can still stream it, but I'm not doing the time maths for you. Fucking figure it out. Lift! Come on! And boys, How Good's Footy?
It's going to be great this week.
It's going to be really good.
North to absolutely fucking steamroll the Dogs and show everyone how serious they are.
Can't wait to have a Sunday roast for lunch, boys.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.